Good morning. Before I preach to you guys, there's a poem I'd like to share with you. This poem is written by Micah Bornay, and I got to hear this guy on a life trip that the youth group went on, not last year, but a few years before that when we went. It's amazing. It's called "I Am Not the Future." He was pushing 60, at least. So impressed by the way I spoke, he looked me in the face and raved, "You are the future." I appreciate the sentiment, but that is not a compliment, because I may be young, but I am not the future. I'm not the future, sir, any more than you are the past. You are wrinkly with the receding hairline, yes, but the muscle in your chest beats and burns just like mine, and we are both alive in the present. I've spent far too many yesterdays stressing on what I might become tomorrow, while you've wasted timeless afternoons reminiscing on who you once were, but neither of those people are us. We are not anything but what we are now. My future riches do not cancel my poverty. My former strength does not heal present weakness, and my soon coming failure does not diminish current victory. I am not the future. I am not history. I exist in perpetual nowness. Rebuking the ghosts of old sins and future fears, I am nothing but here and now. And if I don't like that me, then I must change here and now. And if I can't change that me, then I must pray here and now that God would allow a present step to land a new way. By the grace of God, I am what I am. I am young. You are old. We are both but a breath. Any second, my inhale will be as your ex. So let's celebrate this moment in eternity when God saw us fit to be brothers in the now. And I know you meant well, dear sweet, balding, wrinkly-faced sir. But I hope you understand how much you're worth. For you are not the past, and I am not the future. Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the day that you've given us. Thank you for all the children, all the gifts they have, they've shared to glorify you, Lord. We praise you for that. Please bless the message, and may not be my words, but may they be your words, Lord. May they impact everyone who's here the way you see fit. I pray this all in your name. Amen. Well, hi. I'm Thomas. I think I know most of you, but just turned 18, finishing out my senior year of high school, and since January, I've been attending the Pennsylvania Bible Institute because I want to become a pastor in the CMA. Well, my sermon is on children. Sort of struggled with what topic, but that just seemed the most appropriate, so I thought it was only fitting if I begin by reading some verses about what the Bible has to say about children. So, Genesis 1:28. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it." Psalm 127:3. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring, a reward from him. Proverbs 22:6. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Matthew 18:10, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." And finally, I think this is my parents' favorite verse coming up here. "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." Yeah, mom's favorite verse. I was in Florida last week, and I saw this dad walking with his wife and three daughters. And suddenly he just said, "Why can't you all use the bathroom at the same time?" I'm glad I'm a guy. So I have a list of funny things I've heard parents say. "Band-aids are not stickers." "I can see you." I heard that a lot when I was younger. Because I said so, that's why. I don't know why. Don't ask me why. And finally, go ask your mother why. All right, let's get to the text. Matthew 19:13. Turn to Matthew 19:13 with me. This is the little children in Jesus. Matthew 19:13. Okay, the little children in Jesus. Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. All right, so Jesus says three things about what's going on in this passage, and that's what we're going to look at. So first, verse 14, Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me." And, you know, he's saying that because people were bringing their kids, and the disciples are like, "No, we don't want your loud, noisy kids here." No, Jesus is saying, "Let them come, let them come." Jesus is saying, "Bring your children to church. That is so unbelievably important. I mean, I just finished up my childhood. What I am most grateful for out of 18 years of love and nurture is that my parents always made sure I was in church ever since I was young. Always, always, always be in church. It's the best thing you can do for a kid. And remember, I'm speaking from recent experience. I have to give my mom special credit. I remember when we came here because this was the closest church that had youth group in Awanas on Wednesdays. And we were going to church at the time, but the church was starting to die off, and my mom knew it was time to look for a healthier church to be at. So we came, and I remember the first time we came, we just went shopping beforehand, so I had money with me. And I took one look at the church, and I said, "Mom, I'll give you my $6 if I don't have to go to youth group here." Mom said, no, you still got to go. Now, to make things worse, I was getting prepped for braces that week. And what they did was they put these things called spacers in between my teeth to spread them out so the braces would fit. And that hurt a lot more than the actual braces did. So I walk into church, have a mouthful of pain. And as soon as I walk in, this leader comes up and says, "Have a hot dog." That was the most painful bite of my life. As soon as he wasn't looking, I threw that thing away. I wasn't eating that. And then, second week, the same thing happened. I told my mom, "I'll give you my $6. I still have it if you let me skip." She said, no, you still got to go. Same thing happened the third time. And finally, the fourth time, I was like, maybe it's not so bad coming here. But if it wasn't for my mom, she just kept pushing me, I wouldn't be here, and look where I am now. I also have to give that leader thanks, a special credit, because he was the only person who talked to me beyond saying, "Hi, how you doing?" And that stuck in my mind. So he gave me hope that, you know, coming here wouldn't be all that bad. As I came back, I just thought, "Oh, I hope that guy's there, you know?" Because he was nice to me. He didn't even know me. He was nice. It was great. And that sort of leads into my second point here. So Jesus says, do not hinder them. Don't stop the children from coming. Now the disciples see the loud, noisy kids coming. They're like, no, we don't want you here. You're disruptive. Your kid always cries in the nursery. No, don't come here. And Jesus is like, yes, come. Don't stop them. Come, please. So I think that's saying that the church needs to be welcoming. I mean, we need to welcome the kids, make it exciting, make them want to be here. I mean, this is the house of God. There is no better place to be than here. Now, for a time, I lived in a single mother household, and the church was such a blessing to us, the church we were going to then, because they were accepting. They didn't care about the background we were coming from, you know, single mother and a child, it's not quite the church way or whatever, but no, they didn't care. They knew that what mattered was showing us God's love. And that's just what they did. And it meant so much to us. Now, here at LifePoint, we are so blessed with the great kids' ministry. We have amazing leaders, a beautiful place downstairs. People sacrifice hours and hours of their time so that things like this Kids Sunday and the Christmas program can happen. Can we just give them a round of applause? They're so selfless. We are so blessed here. And not only that, but we have a secure way of protecting the kids from any malintended adults. Like one time I had to check my brother in for Awanas, and I could barely do it. Like I couldn't steal a kid if I tried to, because you have to go through like four computers and codes. It's so, yeah, they're not going anywhere. So welcome the kids. But along with that, I think you gotta welcome the adults too. They gotta feel like it's a good place to be. Because you know, Pastor Joe said a few weeks back, kids are the ones who decide whether a family stays at a church or not. And that's true. But parents are the ones who bring the kids. So if the parents don't come, well, the kids probably aren't going to come either. So I think it kind of goes both ways. You got to welcome all sides, everyone. So bring your kid to church. Church, we need to be ready for when they come. And now the last thing. Actually, before I get into that, I was reading this passage over and over, thinking about it. And you know how politicians make a big fuss when they kiss a baby? Like they kiss a baby and everyone's like, oh my gosh, you kissed a baby. Wow, that's great. Jesus is like the first person to do that. It's like the first kissing of babies, if you will. I was reading online, President Andrew Jackson was the first president credited with using a baby as a political prop. So he was talking to this lady and she had a baby in her arms and he said, hey, that's a good looking American you got there. And she just got so excited that she gave President Jackson the baby to hold. And so we took the baby, gave it to his secretary, and said, you kiss it. Okay, last point. Verse 14. Welcome the kids. Don't stop them from coming. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Now, you got to pay attention to how Jesus words that. He says, such as these, and not these. Big difference there. So he's not saying that heaven's only for kids, but rather that those who go to heaven, the believers, those who are saved, should have the attitude, the faith of a child. While I was doing some researching on the most common characteristics of little kids, and as I was reading it, I was like, wow, this is just what a Christian is supposed to be like. It's amazing. So I have some of them here. A child is loving, pure, has innocence, is humble, has a simplicity of faith. They're trusting. That's what we're supposed to be, right? Trusting the Lord. So we need to be looking at God the same way a child looks to their father. Because, you know, God's our heavenly father, and we, as believers, are his adopted children. I know it's not always easy to do, but you know, once you're part of God's family, once you're saved and you have the Spirit inside of you, if you let him, he'll start working in you to develop that faith like a child. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. So where do you stand with all of this today? Are you one of God's children? Well, if you're not, I got to tell you, the invitation to join God's family is open to everyone. It's open to all. Now, I didn't plan this out with the kids. I think it's amazing how this connects. I have some verses here. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means because we all sin, we all deserve to go to hell. But there's hope, because in John 3:16 it says, for God so loved the world, everyone, the whole world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. So Jesus came as the substitute, took the punishment for my sin and your sin and your sin and everyone's sin so we could come to God. And finally, in John 1:12, it says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who were saved, to those who believe in Jesus' name, he gave the right to become children of God. So today, I want to give you the opportunity to join God's family. I'm going to pray. And if you want to become one of God's children, just pray along with me in your head, okay? So let's pray. Dear God, I am a sinner. I believe you sent your son Jesus to die in my place for my sins. I want to ask you to forgive my sins and give me the gift of eternal life. Thank you for saving me and making me one of your children. In Jesus' name, amen. Now everyone keep your heads bowed, eyes closed, just like Pastor Joe does. If anyone prayed that prayer, just slip your hand up. I want to pray a prayer of blessing. You want it all. Okay, I see you. Okay. Lord, thank you for these people that have prayed this prayer, whether coming to you or just as a rededication. Please bless their lives and grow them in their knowledge and faith and trust in you, Lord. Thank you for these people. Amen. Now, Jesus finishes out here by praying for the children, praying like a prayer of blessing. So I want to do that. So, again, pray with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for the children here in this church. Thank you for the gifts, the talents that you have given them. Thank you that they are using them to glorify you, God. Just ask that as these children grow, you bless them, you increase their knowledge and view, that you just grow them so much, Lord, and that they become strong, mighty Christians and take a stand for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.